No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today I'm in here with Warren Duke Deuce. How you feeling, my guy?
Feeling great, man.
Feeling good?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
You on the top of the world right now? Is that how you feel?
Yep.
That's good.
On a Nick.
You up?
Up.
Big song.
Yes, sir.
It's going down. I was a fan before that song.
Facts.
Just for the record.
Facts. I remember. I'm reaching out. Oh boy, man.
You know, I seen it and I was like, man, I like this guy. I like his energy. I like what he's got going on. So tell us a little bit about your come up and where you're coming from.
I'm coming from Memphis, Tennessee, of course, Black Haven. And you know what I'm saying? The come up. It's a long little come up, you know what I'm saying? But hey, I hung in there and shit. Look where I'm at.
What was a young Duke Deuce like?
Hard headed, stubborn. Irresponsible.
So you were running around. You were in the streets.
I was in and out. Like I wasn't just no 100% just street nigga. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Nah, I ain't had time for this shit.
Really? So
I was always trying to do something.
So were you doing all right in school and shit? You were managing to balance both sides of your life?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm. What did you find yourself gravitating towards in terms of school and shit? Like, what did you find you had a natural aptitude for?
Oh, just music, really.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I played the drum and shit.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of, they helped me. They kept me out of trouble, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Memphis, for you growing up, though, did you feel like you always had that right in your face, that there was always, like, people trying to get you to be living an illegal lifestyle and whatnot?
Yeah.
It was always right there?
Yeah, it's right there like that.
Mm. But you managed to stay detached from it for the most part?
Yeah, because I always had my own mind. Like, I never was a follower. You know what I'm saying? I always did my own damn thing. You feel me?
I got you. So when did you actually get into making music? Was it just rapping with your friends in school and shit for a long-ass time?
Yeah, because I ain't gonna lie, I used to, like, get high as a motherfucker. It was around high school time. I used to get high as fuck with my homeboys, and we'd just be on the block just freestyling, rapping and shit.
Just smoking?
Yeah, smoking.
You weren't
shit
on the e-pills and shit yet?
Nah.
I don't know if you are now either, but you say high as fuck. But I make that mistake sometimes. I say I was high as fuck, and people just assume that I was on some crazy shit.
Nah, it was just weed, you know what I'm saying? And liquor from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, yeah.
Being from Memphis, though, what were you listening to? What was influencing you?
Three C's Mafia.
So you were super into that from an early age?
Right.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Shit, I think, but I got crazy with this shit. Like, I started going ham with the music, like, after high school when life started hitting, I'm like, bro, I got to do something, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I had to stop bullshit.
So you didn't think about going to college? You get a job right out of school? Or
I thought about going to college.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I was going to go to college to cut hair and shit, but shit, the music shit ended up popping. Now I said, fuck this shit.
Was it the kind of thing where you felt like everybody was sort of looking at you like, oh, you got to actually do something with this, like? Your shit was sounding good enough?
I feel like I was looking at myself, because I goddamn had a little girl, you know what I'm saying? Once I had her, it was like, bro.
So you had a kid and it didn't make you think, like, a lot of people have a kid and just give up on their artist dreams.
Hell nah.
The opposite.
That's crazy to me. Like, she still got to grow up. You got to take care of, you know what I'm saying?
But 99.8% of people who rap are never going to make money out of it. They're just going to waste money on it. So you can see how a lot of them will fall back at that point once they have a kid, right?
Right.
But you had the confidence.
Right. I already knew it. I knew I was hard. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
I feel like the game was missing me. I was the key to this shit.
Right. So when you think about crunk music, do you think, like, you remember, like, 2004, 2005, when that shit was, like, the wave? Was that something that, in particular, stood out to you a lot?
Hell yeah. Like, I remember shit. The crunk shit was way before then in Memphis.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the early 90s, late 80s, like, they was already getting booked. Crunk came from getting booked. That was some Memphis shit.
Hmm. Okay. But so, yeah, when we think about 3-6 and them, like, you see the direct stylistic connection there in terms of... Because, like, they, a lot of the 3-6, like, there's a lot of music that was really important in its time, but then doesn't affect anything going forward. Like, it doesn't have, like, a huge impact. But the weird thing about 3-6 and a lot of that Memphis sound is that it was underground popping 10, 20, 30 years ago. Now it's mainstream. It's like, now so many pop songs and shit are just borrowing parts from 3-6 songs.
Right. I just feel like people actually giving their props now, like, because they really influenced a lot of this, man, a lot of this shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Crazy. When you said, when you came up with that song in particular, Crunk Ain't Dead, where was that coming from? Like, where was your mind at with that chorus and shit?
Really, the chorus wasn't even on there. It was really supposed to be like a, I had like a, I was calling Jacket for Memphis, you know, like Jacket for Beats.
Mm-hmm.
I had got like a bunch of hot songs that was from my city, and I just started smashing all the beats. And for some reason, the Crunk Ain't Dead song actually stood out the most. So I said, fuck this shit. This shit hard.
So that was somebody else's beat?
You talking about what, Crunk Ain't Dead?
The original beat was like somebody else's song for a while?
Yeah, that's the If You Ain't From My Hood, Project Pac.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, and I I took that and just took the other songs off and kept that one, and I added the chorus on there.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how that came about.
Like, do you feel like the industry or, like, the rap world needed, like, some different energy? Because sometimes it's, like, that hype, that crunk, hyphy, like, attitude. Like, people want to be all slumped up and just
high
as fuck, all leaned out, no energy.
Boring as a motherfucker.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
No disrespect, but that's how I feel about it. Because I'm in the club, I'm goddamn getting sleepy in that motherfucker, like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I had to make a change, man. And I felt like I was being slept on like a motherfucker. Like, motherfuckers just wasn't gravitating to this shit quick enough. So the Crunk Ain't Dead is really me just really letting shit off, like really going crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Just sort of like putting out a different energy out there. Because sometimes when it feels like everybody's going in a certain direction, you got to just switch shit up if you really want to grab people's attention.
Right. They've been sleeping on big folks. I ain't sleep no more.
Right. When you decided to get Lil Jon and Project Pat and Juicy J on there,
mm-hmm.
was that your dream lineup, or what was your thought process when it came to the lineup?
I was going for Project Pat, Juicy J, or like just, I was going to get Chop on the joint in L.E., but you know what I'm saying? He had a little situation, so...
It wasn't crunk enough?
P was pressing to get Lil Jon on that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it was a good idea, so we ran with it.
Have you met them before? Like, in terms of just people, like, being around Memphis and shit? Was that somebody that you had ever had a chance to meet before?
No, I only met Project Pat before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. What do you think about how they were perceiving it? Like, did you get the vibe that they were appreciative of the fact that you were... utilizing their sound?
Yeah, they fucking with this shit. To me, it's like they feel like they in my age bracket again, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
They just happy that this shit going on, that somebody keeping it alive.
Yeah, definitely. So when did you actually become YRN Duke Deuce? Like, how did the Migos conversation take place?
It was like after I don't know if you ever heard my single, Whole Lotta.
Yeah,
it was after that. It had a little, it went viral, like small viral. I would say end up saying it, boom. He ended up getting me, shot me out to L.A. We kicked it, and then.
So he just believed in the talent that you were putting out there?
Yeah, then eventually they signed me then. YRN.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah. Did it feel like a big change to throw the three letters in front of your name, or what was the thought process on that? That's a big decision.
Yeah, it is, man. It's because, to be honest, everybody from my city usually go CMG or Paper Route.
Mm.
I'm the only one.
Yeah.
It went YRN, QC.
Were you having those conversations with the other two camps?
No, I had no conversations.
Well, Offset kind of got to you like early on, maybe before Gotti would have necessarily been thinking about it.
Right. Mm. They probably thought about it. They just probably moved fast enough. I don't know how it went.
It's almost like there's so much talent coming out of Memphis right now that it's like it's hard for anybody to grab everybody. For a while, it was like there would be a popping rapper from Memphis every couple of years. Now it feels like every couple of months we're finding out about something new.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah. Definitely. You have relationships, though? Like, have you gotten a chance to meet Gotti and them or Dolph and them? Have you, like, gotten a chance to sort of?
I ain't just really chopped it up with Gotti, but I chopped it up with Youngster.
Mm.
And Dolph reached out to me a few weeks ago, you know what I'm saying? And we supposed to be working and shit. So.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah.
That's dope. You don't feel like there's any kind of, there's all kinds of weird conflicts between people in Memphis, though. You feel like you're on the outside of all that. You don't really got to be concerned with that.
Yeah, ain't got shit to do with that. Dudes ain't got shit to do with none of that. Dudes trying to get this motherfucking money, man.
Right.
You hear me?
What's Offset's attitude on signing artists, or what have you seen from him so far in terms of like what he's really trying to do in terms of your career?
Say it again.
In terms of your career, what's like Offset's mentality on what it feels like he's trying to do for you, or what he wants to help develop your shit?
I mean, I feel like he more on like he come like off as the big brother, like, you know what I'm saying? He give me a lot of game, you know what I'm saying? Let me know not to do this, not to do that, watch out for this shit, you know what I'm saying? Certain shit I don't really want to get into, but you know. Yeah, he just really be giving me a lot of game, and yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, he's seen his shitloads of ups and downs in terms of a career, so it's like, does it feel like he's fully, like, invested in it? Like it's got to be tough for him because he's so successful and he's moving right. around crazy all the time. Is it kind of right. hard for him to necessarily be able to put much effort into?
I feel like he's doing the best he can, you know what I'm saying? Definitely. But he know me. He know I'm a workaholic anyway, so he ain't got shit to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of crazy, like, you have had a shitload of songs popping off and you haven't even necessarily gone to him and be like, yo, can you get on this song to make this song pop off yet?
Nah, only that one joint, that Unload motherfucker.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, but other than that, nah, I just really been grinding it out.
Right.
And that's what he believe in. He believe in making me grind it out. Like, right. it's been that way. Even P even said it. Yo, a lot of this shit, a lot of my work, shit, a lot of shit happened because I did it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Definitely. Yeah, like, in terms of your work ethic, what do you think is the most important thing for you to be putting your time into? Like, are you doing a shitload of shows right now? Or are you more focused on doing video? I feel like one thing with you is that you just have been pushing the fuck out of this one song
yeah.
over and over and over, which I think is smart, because a yeah. lot of times if you have a song that's really a hit, you got to just pound that shit into people's brains before you go putting out a million new songs.
Right. I feel like I focus more on different type. I focus on work by the time, and like right now it's a time to focus on getting these back ends and focus on releasing this project, you know what I'm saying? It's coming out on the 19th. So it's just all about the timing. Like before then, I was in the studio a lot.
Right.
I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying, get my shit together for the tape. Now let's focus on getting these bread now.
That's always the tough thing to figure out. It's like you need to just be being creative, but then you also have to be the marketing guy.
Right,
just pushing
right,
the
right.
fuck out of the shit you created. And right. sometimes it can be hard to like do both at the same time.
I think marketing is what's really been, we've been really focusing on more lately.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, you know, we all know people who are dope rappers and make dope music and stuff, but it's hard, like, when you can't just focus on one thing and just push that shit. And
right.
just really, you know, like, for you to have one really, really big song is, like, so much more important than to have 10 decently right. popular songs.
Facts.
Yeah. A lot of times when people think about crunk, they think about getting fucked up. You down with that or what?
Yeah,
what?
I be getting fucked up. I be fucked up when I make these damn songs.
Really? So yeah. what's a typical protocol? You be drinking and smoking, or you go beyond that?
Red Bull and Martell, Blue Swift Martell. That's my shit.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Guys feel like a lot of times, like when people tell me, like, yeah, you know, I be on Molly in the studio, I'm like, oh god.
Hell nah. Hell nah. No, sir.
That might be all right for right now, but the long term shelf life of having that kind of habit. Probably not
fucked
good.
Fucked up. Hell nah.
Right. Yeah.
You gotta keep your mind clear, man.
Once you get familiar with all the other drugs that people be doing and stuff, then all of a sudden drinking seems like a fucking total safe, good thing to record doing, because
right.
it's just so much less addictive, I feel like.
Yeah, and it loosens you up. You know what I'm saying?
Have you gotten a chance to, or like being the fact that you were torn and doing all these different shows and stuff, is it kind of wild for you having not had those experiences previously?
This shit was expected. I already knew, you know what I'm saying, what I had to do and what was finna go on. I've been waiting on it, so yeah. I'm just proud, bro. Like, for real.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Is it wild for like your family to see all these changes taking place and everything as well?
Yeah, cause like I'm barely home and you know what I'm saying? And my pops, you know, this was his dream. Now he see me doing it, so this shit like, damn.
So he rapped?
He used to he actually make beats. He got some songs on him. On my tape that's coming out. So
really?
Yeah.
So he makes beats and he can still make like current beats. He's not stuck on some old school shit.
Hard, but really? Man, crazy. He go crazy.
Wow.
For real.
That's exciting. Is that kind of like a weird feeling though? It's like if your dad hands you a beat tape and you don't use one of them, it's like, damn.
I mean,
I brought you into this world and you can't use one damn beat?
Nah, my pops, he ain't like that. He real, he a 100 nigga. You know what I'm saying? He ain't like that. He just, he happy. Like for me, like.
Right.
He know what's going on. He know I'm a rip this shit, you know, I'm gonna rip other shit. It just is what it is. I'm an artist. He know it because he was an artist.
Right. Was he putting you onto a shitload of rap from early on in your life or other music as well?
I mean, I just used to go to the studio with him a lot growing up. I ain't had no choice, you know what I'm saying?
So it was just embedded in you.
Right. Because he was rapping too, so, and doing beats.
Well, it's interesting because it's like a lot of like younger artists, they don't seem like they know about fucking anything. So it's like for you to even like have a song that references a style of music that was popular, you know, 10-15 years ago is like that's pretty out of the ordinary in the first place, because so many people that feels like they don't know about shit before fucking Travis Scott.
Right, this shit crazy.
No respect to Travis Scott. It's just sometimes you feel like people like just don't really have that much of an understanding of music, and like that's kind of like that although that crunk sound, like all that shit, like all that stuff is super relevant right now, you know?
Right.
Definitely. So you did a show for T.I.'s daughter?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
That shit was great. Like to see T.I. out there, just, he was turned up on the dance floor, just, you know what I'm saying, hyping me up.
T.I. was?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been exciting to see. Yeah. But wait, so you got booked to just play like a birthday party at somebody's house or something?
Nah, it wasn't at a house. It was at an actual club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So his daughter's old enough that she was actually in the club for her birthday.
Yeah.
Damn. So you get to build with him much, or how was that?
Me and T.I., yeah, we stay connected, you know what I'm saying? I be hitting him up, he hit me up. You know what I'm saying? I always run into him. One time, one of the bouncers at the club was giving me a hard time. He made sure I got in that bitch.
That's what's up. Do you feel like a lot of people end up thinking from Atlanta?
Think I'm from Atlanta?
Yeah, just because of who you're around and shit?
Yeah, they used to, but not no more, though.
Not that often?
Yeah.
Do you feel like Memphis is that a big part of you in terms of, like, why you feel like you're doing it? Are you a proud Memphis resident?
Yeah. Okay. I'm really putting on for the city, like, 100%.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It is. It's been a wild couple of years when you think of all the talent that's been coming out of Memphis.
Right.
What about the dancing in general, too? Because I know that's something that you take a lot of pride in. You've been dancing since you were young?
Yeah. Shit, we've been doing this shit since, man, middle school, all the way up to high school. Me and a couple of my brothers that's in this room right now, that's how we met each other. We was gangster walking and shit, you know what I'm saying?
So when you got into the dancing, though, it was more of like a gang-related thing, or?
Nah. It wasn't gang-related. It's just shit. That's where it come from. Like, so gangster walking come from Memphis.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Back in the 80s and shit.
Okay.
And gangsters and pimps and shit just used to they used to do this shit. And it just became a thing, you feel me? And
right.
Niggas used to really be in the club fighting and, you know what I'm saying, from gangster walking, like, it was just a thing, you feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy because it felt like for a long time it was, like, not really cool to dance in rap.
Right.
And that has all gone away over the past couple of years.
Right. It's all about how you do it, too.
Yeah. Did you have, like, years in the club where you were just a dude? You weren't going to dance? You just didn't feel comfortable with it? It didn't seem like a cool thing to do, and now shit's changed?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're on top of the shit in the studio dancing and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. That was just, I wasn't even going to do that at first. Because I actually was done shooting the video. But then my homeboy was like, man, you don't do this shit. And shit, I had to do it. I hopped up there and this shit went crazy.
It felt like that helped with the meme element of that song.
Right. So if I wouldn't have never did that, I ain't no telling.
Yeah. You have a TikTok?
Oh, yeah.
You do have one?
Yeah.
Have you posted on it or?
Oh, I might have posted a few things, but I'm not consistent.
Okay. Because it feels like that's where, well, the labels at the very least are trying to use that to help break off, like make a lot of songs pop off and everything, like using the whole TikTok wave. Have you thought much about that? I'm sure that your song is used on there all the time.
I'm finna get more into it though, because it is a good way to promote now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Damn. Anybody, or are there any other, like when you're making music now, are you ever thinking about the dance element or about the promotional aspect or like how it might spread on social media? Is that right. even something you're thinking about?
Right. All the time. You know what I'm saying? That's the, because I'm always like trying to find ways to go viral. You know what I'm saying? And when it comes to the editing, like, I always make sure I keep in touch with them when they come to the video.
Mm.
Like, I told them, like, don't chop this shit up. The dancing part on the table, I told them not to chop it up, you feel me? Because I feel like that'll take away from it, you feel me? So
right.
I feel like that's what made it go viral. When you don't chop this shit up as much. It's one take shit. They want to see that, you feel me?
They want to see the full actual dance moves.
Right.
Helps them to wrap their head around it. Yeah, I mean, it's like, nowadays it's kind of like, people like music that's a little bit simpler, or at least having those songs that are simpler, because it's like you want all these kids at home to be able to relate to your song enough that they want to dance to it and they want to basically help you push the song.
Right.
It's a weird mentality to have to get into. So what do you got planned at this point in terms of, are you working on a specific project or planning to drop more album or more videos?
MM2, Memphis Massacre 2 is on the way February 19th. And we just finished the Crunk Ain't Dead remix video.
Oh, yesterday. The video is ready.
Yes, it's ready.
And you had everybody all together in it?
Something like that.
Technicalities? who was the person that was hard to nail down?
Either one, really.
Juicy J, he got a busy schedule.
Yeah, he do. Mm-hmm. He do. But, hey, we made it work.
You made it work, shit. Yeah.
It's
all kinds of tricky shit they do in videos these days to make it look like everybody was together.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So okay, you're working on that video. Do you have any idea like what the project? Are you trying to do something different with it? Is this gonna be more of the same type of shit you've been bringing to the table?
I honestly, I feel like it's gonna be more like the first one, but better.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be better. It's gonna be shit. Crunk as fuck.
Crunk ain't dead.
But then at the same time, you know, versatile. So. Switch it up a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
What have you had conversations with Drake?
No.
You haven't, but I see him liking all your fucking posts and shit.
Yeah, but we ain't top it up yet.
So he's a fan, but he hasn't necessarily touched in.
Right.
Interesting.
Mm.
I'm sure that's to come. You give me a weird smile there like you already did a song with him. It could happen.
It could. It should.
It could definitely happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Anything else we should know? Anybody that you want to shout out or thank or anything?
Man, shout out to the whole Triple M family, man. Shout out to my family at the house, the crib, home. Shout out to the city, man. Shout out to Memphis, man. Shout out to Migo. Shout out to QC. Shout out to YRN, man. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Yeah, shout out to No Jumper, too.
Hey, appreciate that.
Real talk.
What else you got going on for the rest of the day here?
Just curious, what's a press day like? Probably finna get fucked up, you know. Nah, for real though, I got more interviews to do. So,
okay.
Yeah, just pretty much working.
You already did a bunch today?
Nope, first one.
This is the first one.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, yeah, because usually after somebody's done a few interviews, they know what they don't want to talk about. And I'm wondering what the shit that is gonna fucking make you jump up and start dancing on the table is gonna be.
No, I don't even think I want to find out.
You don't got a list of questions that's like, yo, don't ask me about this shit.
Nah, not right now. Don't.
You'll figure it out over time.
Yeah, I'm gonna figure it out. Good talk.
All right, makes sense to me. Well, Duke Deuce, keep killing it.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, man. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Bow, bow.